You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
From Los Angeles, California, and Maria Menounos, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV Spotlight On. Spotlight On is a long-form interview series featuring actors and TV personalities. And now, from the world's number one TV after-show platform, this is AfterBuzz TV Spotlight On.
Hey there, AfterBuzzers. Welcome to a very special edition of AfterBuzz TV Spotlight On. I am Matt Lieberman, and joining me today, fantastic actor who's appeared in, you know, in movies and television over, you know, the last several years. Demetrius Gross is here. Thank you for coming.
It's a pleasure to be here, Matt. Thanks for the call to invite me, man.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
I'm glad that we could do this. I'm a big fan of yours. I love Justified. I'm a huge Justified fan, huge Banshee fan. I do the after shows for both of those. You're just stunned right now. You were stunned into silence.
I couldn't believe. I mean, a lot of people are a fan of that show,
yeah.
But I didn't know that you were a fan of that show.
Of course I'm a fan of that show. I'm
always
taste.
Humble, too. I'm never presumptuous that people are a fan of the work that I get a chance to do. I'm always, like, genuinely and authentically surprised when people come up and they're like, oh, man, I loved you as Earl. Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal. In fact, one time I was at the bank and this Rastafarian dude came up to me. He was like, yo, man, you're on that show. You know, the Saturday the Rig Neck show. Down there, were you playing the country boy and that? And I was like, yeah. He's like, what the name of that show? And I'm like, Justified. He's like, yeah, man, I love your character. And I was like, oh, wow. So all kind of, you know, different various demographics of people watch Justified. And it was like, wow. Yeah. So I was, you know, that's just an example.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's far-reaching. You know, the appeal of that show is pretty universal. Like, you don't have to be any particular kind of person to love good TV or love good movies. So how did you get started acting? Like, where are you from and how did you get started in your career?
Well, I'm originally from Chocolate City, man. I'm from Washington, D.C.
Okay.
I started acting there in, I guess it was probably like 1994.
Okay.
I got the bug when I was doing plays, musical theater plays at Sid Wilfrin's, where Sasha and Malia Obama go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to do... you know, summer musical theater, all the classics. We'd be singing Hello, Dolly. We'd be doing, you know, Conrad, Birdie. We'd be doing, what else? Guys and Dolls, all that stuff. Fast
yeah.
forward, went to high school. Realized I wasn't good enough at basketball.
Sorry.
to go to the NCAA.
Not everyone can.
Right. So, yeah. But I was okay at holding a note without going flat. I did go sharp sometimes, but I didn't go flat. And so I just decided to go to college, went to Howard, went to Carnegie Mellon. The rest mm-hmm. is, you know... the rest. And now I'm in LA for almost like 6-7 years. Did a play about the Tuskegee Airmen in 2010 in New York. And that minuses my LA time. But pretty much, I mean, the fast forward story is that. And I've just been here, you know, kind of putting one foot in front of the other.
You've been working pretty consistently over the last couple of years.
Yes, it's been a very blessed time. The last couple of years have been interesting because I'm just getting into that portion of a person's process or career where you begin to get recognized for mm-hmm. your work. And so that's a really interesting place to be. I've sort of been the guy who does a lot of different accents. I like transformational characterization. So I try to personify as authentically as I possibly can the actual, you know, persona of the people that I get a chance to play from a real integral place. Mm-hmm. What that means is that you're not going to be famous, right?
Yeah.
So I don't have a look or a sort of thing that I do. I try to really just give myself over to the people that I portray. And so recently I've been, you know, getting a little bit of accolade from people who've been following my work, like yourself. And it's interesting. It's really humbling, and I think promises for great stuff in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. You actually, it's funny. I didn't even realize that you were Errol because I've been watching Banshee so much recently. I hadn't revisited season 3 of Justified in a while, which speaks to, you know, the whole transformational thing. When you're getting into a character, when you're trying to get under their skin, is that all text-based or are you bringing more stuff to it?
Great question. I think you're bringing training.
Yeah.
I think you're bringing the expertise and the intelligence of the director, mm-hmm. the writer, the accessibility of the camera operators, the eye of the cinematographers, the help of the gaffers. I mean, it's a collaborative thing. I think one of my things my dad left me with just recently was he said, prayer works if you work it. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned that to Denzel Washington, and he liked that quote. So now it's become a mantra. Not to be religious or spiritual, but I think any kind of meditation, any kind of focus or concentration concerted on any given goal is effective. We are more, as human beings, we're more than just our ability to wear cool clothes or to drive nice cars. We're actually, you know, highly, you know, capable intellectual beings if we you know, exercise those things. And I think, long story short, I think acting, artistry, journalism, like what you're doing, are all examples of opportunities to do that. We kind of go into a situation, humbly figure out what we want that situation to be or how we want the outcome to be. And sometimes we're fortunate that everyone's free will aligns with that result. Acting just gives me an opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
I mean, I do a bit of acting myself. What I love about acting and the process of it is figuring out how to connect your own experience to what this other person is feeling, and also not judging them for anything that they've done. You know, you have to understanding why this person feels this way, why they're doing what they're doing, right. Is like that key thing.
Right, exactly. That's one of the silver linings of the acting playbook. It's interesting to play bad guys.
Yeah.
Before Emmett Yonners, I played my fair share of villains. And it was always riveting to kind of get into the psychology of whatever character, whether it be Sam D on Heroes mm-hmm. or a character on stage. I just recently did a play with Shirley Jo Finney about the post-slavery area in Oklahoma, mm-hmm. Where the first free blacks set up their own community and lived coercively with Blackfoot Indians and the Seminole Native Americans. And the character was named Number Two. And he was kind of this bitter expatriate guy. But what was interesting about him is that while he was written as a villain, you saw the silver lining of who this guy was, that he was just a guy who had to really believe in self-reliance. He had mm-hmm. to really believe in family and the preservation of his lineage. And so that's just an example of how you can look at something that's ostensibly, you know, bad, like the negative, the bad guy, and learn things about the human condition, and hopefully broaden the broaden the ideas of your audience, who is what we're doing it for in the first place.
Yeah, I feel like it can really expand your empathy, and it kind of gives you, I think, a broader sense of who we all are, you know.
Yeah.
It's toned down my road rage. I can't get mad at people because, like, you know, they're just having a crappy day too.
Right. It was a funny story about that. Road rage is interesting. Road rage even provides an opportunity to, you know, to have fun and change people's minds.
Yeah.
When I get cut off or if I do something less than noble behind the wheel, I usually sort of mark fun at road rage. So I'll do we're on camera, so this is great. I'll like stick my hand out of the window, and instead of for flipping someone the bird, I'll go like this. I'll say with that exact face look. And so usually the person can see the twinkle in your eye and realize
it's like
it's
this
a
like
joke,
old school right? Why I oughta
fist. Like Archie Bunker, like yeah. Why I oughta.
Next you know. Time, straight to the moon.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you remember your first paid gig? What was it?
My first paid gig ever was in the guild. I mean, I had a opportunity to perform for the U.S. Customs Service, which is a subsidiary of the federal government.
Yes, I'm very aware.
And I played a Nigerian doctor who was going from Lagos to America, and I had a baggage with me. Now, for this particular video, what I had to do, and what I could not make one mistake or stutter at all on, is to recite a script that was on teleprompter. The teleprompter would let me know what I was to say, because this particular tape was going to be training material for mm-hmm. the for the custom services for all of their training. And so I did that, and it was in Baltimore years ago. And eventually after that, I did my second paid gig, which got me a Taft-Hartley cut for The Wire. And I played an extra in The Wire. That wasn't the role. I was a bouncer, but the role was typified as an extra. So I'm hoping if I'm blessed enough to continue this, then I will be able to say one day I went from being an Oscar I went from being an extra on The Wire to getting an Oscar. So I'm praying and I'm hoping for that.
I'm praying and hoping too. Wait, so tell me about this customs shoot.
Yeah,
so
crazy, right? So
it's Baltimore. It's a training film.
It's all over like their training. Like
it's still in use.
I think so because when I go through airports, people still kind of look at me funny.
Right.
Like the TSA, they kind of.
The Wire wasn't that long ago.
No, I'm not talking about The Wire. I'm talking about the fact that I'm the guy on their training videos.
Saying, I'm thinking about like how many years this video must be in use.
It was like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not that. No, it was 10 years. I'm being modest. No, it was 10 years
ago. But still, yeah, you got to be getting some weird looks from these
customs
guys.
It's either they saw Errol or they I was the guy who was the quote-unquote Nigerian.
I feel like on some level they'd feel like they're getting punked or like this is a test.
Isn't it always kind of, sort of?
Kind of.
A little?
A little bit.
Kind of.
It's a little weird. So let's, I know we're like skipping all over the place. I'm crushed that we don't have as much time as I want.
No, it's okay. We never do.
But, let's talk about Banshee. I was heartbroken to see you go in this finale. We were, on the Banshee after show, we were like all debating who it was going to be. And honestly, I was most excited for your story arc next season. Cause I'm like tapping into this level of darkness and having to wrestle with it gives so many opportunities for growth for Emmett. And now Emmett's gone. And I'm like, all this story potential is wasted.
Well, you know, what I hated to do was like have to make up so many stories to people who could kind of smell it coming after episode 9.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to skate the truth as much as I could without spoiling it.
And,
you know, they have spoiler blogs.
I know. I read them.
That was the hardest part of that was, you know, having shot it, knowing what's going to happen, and then having people, you know, who are really invested, our loyal fans. We thank you. We thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We really, really thank you. We have an incredible loyal fan base for this show.
Did you hear about how much the ratings went up for the finale? Went up 58%.
Well, that's positive. I mean, episode 7 and 8 were like the highlights of my character, but I mean, Anthony Starr, freaking who else? Matt Servito, Frankie Faison, Hoonley, and a list of others. Ivano. Everybody, Greg, all of them were like the whole season were pumping. They were doing it. So the fact that the second half of the season we jumped by 53%, I think it speaks volumes.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me about, did you audition for the role or was it an offer?
I'm not allowed to disclose that information. No, it was both. It was both. I definitely auditioned, which has been an interesting thing. You realize no matter who's who, I mean, the A-list, sometimes they got to come in and read and make sure they're the right fit.
Yeah.
I mean, household names sometimes have to go in and meet with producers. So, of course, I definitely auditioned. And then after a couple of reads, it became apparent that me and this character, Emmett Yonners, really fit. And it kind of streamlined after that.
Great. Well, can you tell me a little bit about your audition process or like any kind of like audition stories? Like so many actors trying to come up, like all they're faced with is just audition room after audition room and never getting anywhere.
Yes. Yeah. I'll share this.
Okay.
Two things. Oh, three things.
You have an extreme gravitas.
No, I
this.
Have no gravitas whatsoever, Matthew. But thank you. The three things that I'll share are this. Definitely it's better if they discover you slowly.
Yes.
We've all seen flashes in the pan, right? Mm-hmm. It's better if they discover you slower. Number two, I definitely share that attraction is better than promotion. What does that mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we all watch Oprah Winfrey, right?
Right.
So we've seen, you know, The Secret. Basically, the more you do, the more you believe, the more you practice, the more you work at something, that's better than saying, hey, look at me, I can do this. Hey, look at me, I can do this, and promoting. The more that you become something, like yourself, Matt, like, when you decided to do this show, you had to really conceive it in your mind first.
Mm-hmm.
And so eventually all this, the studio is amazing. Like
all this stuff.
Yeah, it's really cool. it all attracted to you. So attraction is better than promotion. I would recommend that for any young actor. And then thirdly, I'd say, train.
Yeah.
Train, because, you know, you don't want to get your face out there. You kind of want to make a name for yourself, but you don't necessarily want to get your face out there. You want to know that when you come in a room or come into a meeting, or you're across from that red light and that red light's on and they're recording and rolling, mm-hmm. that you're ready to go.
Right.
And that only comes with training. You know, it only comes with practice, essentially.
Right. You got to prepare yourself, because when the big swing comes, you might only get one.
That's right.
You know.
That's correct.
Yeah. So when did you hear, and who told you that Emmett was getting killed off this year?
The executive producer and the writer mm-hmm. sat me down probably in the middle of the season.
Okay.
And, it was very organized.
Mm-hmm.
And they invited me in the room.
It
was in the office.
Okay. Yeah. So it wasn't like a boardroom and they slid a piece of paper across the table.
No, it wasn't like that. it was really, man, that team over there is awesome.
Yeah.
Our team is dope.
Greg Gutanis is here, actually.
Good. Yeah. I can't wait to see him. Yeah. I wanted to see him a couple weeks ago. We were trying to link up. Because we've both been doing these sort of Banshee Fridays.
Okay.
So I'm really excited to see him. But yeah, it was all very congenial. And it was explained to me that, you know, having a show as successful as ours is kind of like having a deck of cards.
Mm-hmm.
And so from season to season, you have to figure out, you know, what's going to make the next play more intriguing.
Yeah.
You know? And it was explained to me in that vein that... we were going to basically be ending Emmett's arc on the show. But I did hear subsequently that Emmett may come back for flashbacks, because we're always doing Banshee Origins. Mm-hmm. We're always doing kind of behind-the-scenes stuff and flashbacks. And Emmett's character never really did an Origins.
Yeah.
And so there's a little asterisk beside that. I mean, if you think about it, there was one with Siobhan Kelly with Trieste's character.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really mainly about the awful domestic abuse situation that she was enduring as a character. And so that we only have a glimpse into who Emmett was before Banshee and how he gets tied into this whole town. So there's always opportunity. We deal with a highly, highly creative writing staff. So
great.
I'm confident, you know, that we won't leave our fans completely hanging.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about, before we run out of time, you were involved with a documentary about Hurricane Katrina.
Absolutely.
what led you to make that, and what is it? Sorry.
Well, my girl, man, my lady, yeah. she's from New Orleans.
Okay.
And so my extended family is from New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans is near and dear to me. We were fortunate to get Wendell Pierce to be one of the producers. And we highlighted a community there. We did kind of like an anthological documentary. So what does that mean? We traced a neighborhood in Gentilly
mm-hmm.
and in the Seventh Ward and Pontchartrain Park, actually.
Yeah.
And we traced them from tragedy to triumph. So from 2005, when the hurricane hit, through, 2010, 2011.
Okay.
We followed them rebuilding their community themselves. So what we were able to capture was a grassroots, independent lens at really what happened. I mean, from the murders in Algiers to people being disenfranchised and not getting the help they needed from FEMA to all these things, we were able to kind of highlight in a positive way
mm-hmm.
and in a progressive way, you know.
And in a very intimate way.
Yeah, exactly. From a perspective that may not necessarily be as marketable or as commercial as some of the bigger budget documentaries that have been done. So we're very proud of it. And if anybody's out there who's interested in it,
Where can they find it?
Right now, you can not find it. We have trailer and teaser, and we've been very specific about the placement of it. We have purposefully not done the festival circuit.
Okay.
We did have a major network looking at it. They passed on it because they had two other documentaries in the pipeline for mm-hmm. that subject matter. But it highlights any community along the Gulf Coast, which is a significant, one-fourth of America?
Yeah.
So I think it's very pertinent. It's very timely. and hopefully it'll find a home. It's called Last Cry for Katrina.
Okay.
Bringing back the Big Easy.
Is there a URL where people can find more information?
They can reach out to conservatorymediagroup.org.
Okay.
conservatorymediagroup.org, and they can email us.
Great.
At info@conservatorymediagroup.org if they are interested in perhaps screening or taking a look at the documentary to see if it's right for them.
That's awesome. So do you have any other projects on the horizon?
Sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
What's going on?
Oh, wow. I'm flattered you asked. I have a great little, it's not little, it's actually huge. But I try to keep myself as modest as possible at all costs.
It's a good way to be.
But it's a really cool show Matt Nix put together. We play surgeons in an ER.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people look at surgeons.
Matt Nix, creator of Burn Notice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we did this cool show, and it's basically a bunch of guys and girls who are ER doctors and nurses. And these guys are basically the rock stars of medicine,
mm-hmm.
right? And what we delve into and typify in our show is not necessarily just the medicine, but how they balance their life outside of the ER.
Yeah.
How the decisions that they have to make regarding, I mean, let's be honest, I mean, what they have to
right. regard you're in terms you're of wrestling with some serious demons.
Healthcare. Whether to help people who may be disenfranchised, who may not have healthcare,
mm-hmm.
who need immediate emergency assistance.
Yeah.
These watershed type of situations that they find themselves in. So I thought it was a really interesting show. So when I was asked to be a part of it, I had to jump to it. It's a USA thing.
It's a USA thing. Do you know when that's coming out, or if it's...
I couldn't give you a date, but
that's okay.
Stay tuned. It's coming.
Okay.
Lord willing, it'll come.
All right, great. Well,
so a couple of other things, but that's that thing I'm really proud of. And, of course, like you mentioned, the documentary, and mm-hmm. I'm writing a feature picture right now. So
that's great. Can you tell us anything about it? Or
just that it's a it's kind of a French New Wave film, art house, mm-hmm. kind of, let's say, I don't know, it's existentialistic. It borrows from Jean-Paul Sartre. It borrows from Samuel Beckett. It borrows from Alfred Hitchcock. It borrows from Woody Allen and Spike Lee.
That's awesome.
It's cool. It's coming along. It's on its 37th draft.
Okay. Hey, man, I'm not going to rush you. I want to see it when it's ready.
I don't want to rush this one either.
Yeah.
No.
Well, that's awesome. Well, we have to wrap up soon, but I just have a few more questions.
Shoot away.
Yeah.
So, we both blocked out this time to
I know.
Get here, so don't
so
feel
let's
rushed.
Just, I know. Right. I wanted an hour, and this is what we got. Can you think of a career highlight? Like, what was just the thing that stands out in your mind? Like, this is maybe the best thing I've gotten to do, or the coolest thing I've gotten to do as a performer.
Episode 8 in Banshee.
Yeah.
And I think it was like 3/4 through the episode. There was a moment when I watched, because I didn't see any of it until it aired and was broadcast. And the guys above the line were vigilant about making sure everything stayed under tight wraps with that. And I actually appreciated that in the long run. But in short, like, it was episode 8, and I was actually watching it at home with my family. And there was a split second where I looked at Emmett sitting in the chair talking to Anthony's character. And I really didn't even see myself anymore for a quick second. Like, I actually saw a character who was grappling with something. Usually when you're watching yourself or you're going over your pick, in any profession, whether it's you being a journalist and you watch the tape from a show, mm-hmm. you're like, you know, you kind of are your worst critic. I don't like that word. You're your most stringent critic, right?
Yeah.
I am as well, as we all are. But when I was watching that particular episode, I think it was what, Evil for Evil?
Mm-hmm.
I really was proud specifically of the characterization of the character. I couldn't really hide behind much with this guy. I bulked up a little bit. You see, I'm not really that skinny.
They frame you on that show as like a monster.
Yeah,
they love giants on
exactly.
that show.
Exactly. And yeah, Geno Seegers is going to kill it next year. Anyway, but yeah, man, I bulked up a little bit, said some prayers, and shaved my beard. I usually rock a beard.
Yeah.
So it was an opportunity to just really see me my characterization in that particular episode, and I was very proud of that. I was able to, I didn't have anything to hide behind, but I was just like, you know,
well, that's,
something real is happening on that camera.
Oh, absolutely. Right. And honestly, it was a season highlight to watch, and your performance is just devastating.
Thank you.
In that episode. And then I guess my last question is, do you have, what is a piece of advice? Because I love a lot of the advice you've been passing down.
I don't have any advice.
You've had at least two sayings in the last half hour. Okay. But I'm just saying, what is a piece of advice you wish you'd had when you moved to L.A., you know, 6-7 years ago? Or like when you started acting? Yeah, assert yourself.
You are great. You are great. Like, you are great. Know that, and do not allow people that are bigger than you, and some of these people are bigger than you, do not allow them to allow you to depreciate your worth. You are good enough. Don't move to L.A. to be a model. Don't move to L.A. to be a writer. Don't move to L.A. to be a producer. Don't move to L.A. to be an actor. Be that already, and let this town, which is an awesome town, be a platform for that. But don't wait for this town to validate that. It's too much responsibility. This town's got a lot more responsibility than to make you that.
Yeah.
I think you own that within yourself. There you go.
All right.
I don't know.
No, that was good. And again, gravitas.
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 What does that mean? I got to look that up on my dictionary.
In so many words, it's basically, it's like you said, attraction versus
promotion.
It's basically, it's an intensity that requires people to listen and absorb what you say.
Mm.
That's gravitas. I want to thank you, Demetrius Gross, for coming on the show. The documentary is called Last Cry for Katrina.
Check it out at www.conservatorymediagroup.org.
Okay, and do you have a Twitter?
I do, at Demetrius Gross, all one word, capital D, capital G.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman, all over the place here at AfterBuzz TV, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Banshee, of course, Justified, of course, Helix and Lost Girl on Sci-Fi, Resurrection on ABC, and I'm also starting as a correspondent at SourceFed. It's a YouTube network owned by Discovery Digital. You can check that out at youtube.com/sourcefed. I want to thank Demetrius again for joining us. Thank you all for listening, watching, downloading, streaming. You're the best. Good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.